Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sigh, rich is he, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down, now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
Happy Sabbath, dear brothers and sisters. Do you hear me? Am I clear? All right, thank you. So before we start, I invite you to pray. And please kneel if you can. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so much thankful for gathering us once again this Holy Sabbath to worship and glorify your holy name. We humbly come before your throne of grace to ask your blessings. Please give us understanding of your will through your Holy Spirit and be able to apply it in our daily lives. And thank you. Thank you, Father, for blessing the children and adults study earlier. It's really full of lessons. Please ask, please speak in our hearts to your holy words continually that we are about to hear. And please anoint my tongue so that only your words will be uttered, and we will all be sanctified by thy words, for thy words are truth. Please, Father, forgive us. Please cleanse us for all the sins we have committed against thee. And thank you for hearing our prayers, for we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And I'm so thankful also for that wonderful song, Just As I Am. Today is June 15, 2024. So we have our sermon notes in here. Thank you for posting, my dear sister wife. So our title is The Straight and Narrow Path. Okay, so those who are in the radio, WTPR, you can type into your browser the sdrmovement.org/note/06-1524.html. Yes, that's the date for today. Now, for start, let's read Luke 13:23-24. Then said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. We must understand that what we shall do to enter in the straight gate, to walk in the narrow path. We must know what we will do to inherit eternal life. We must know if the steps we are taking are upward, ordered by the Lord instead of downward. Because there are many who seek to enter in the straight gate, but they fail. And why is that? Because the study statement in here, in this passage, is that many will only seek to enter the straight gate, but the problem is they do not strive. There's a big difference. Because the word strive here means to struggle, literally, to compete for a prize in a contest, and in figure, to contend and fight for the faith with our adversary. This is also used by the apostles Jude and Paul. In Jude 1 verse 3, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. As a remnant of our seed, we must contend. We must fight for the faith. We should be diligent, active, and earnest. Let's make it our first and chief business to overcome all our sinful and hereditary tendencies. To endeavor to enter heaven. In a Review and Herald, August 21, 1888, paragraph 17. Review and Herald, August 21, 1888. It says, "You must fight the good fight of faith. You must be wrestlers for the crown of life. Strive, for the grasp of Satan is upon you, and if you do not rent yourselves from him, you will be palsied and ruined. The foe is on the right hand and on the left, before you and behind you." See, that's why he's always on attack. He never sleeps. So you must trample him under your feet. Strive, for there is a crown to be won. Strive, for if you win not the crown, what will happen? You lose everything in this life and in the future life. So strive, but let it be in the strength of your risen Savior. Now, have you noticed that that word wrestlers? Have you noticed how wrestlers fight to win? They hold his opponent down by placing his hand on his neck. So, likewise, we must break free from the enemy's grip and struggle with the power of evil through the grace of Christ. To defeat him and wear the crown of victory, otherwise we will be lost eternally. See, our enemy is so mad. He wants us to he wants to destroy us. Look at what happened to our dear brothers and sisters in the last gatherings we have during the testimony. No? They almost died in the car accident, but the Lord protected them. But what do we do? Huh? 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, being sober means to be temperate in all things, okay? Both physically and spiritually. We must be temperate in our taste, even in our speech. We have to be cool. We have to be calm. Why? Because we are holding the truth. See, our health, you know, is promoted by temperate living. We must take care of our bodies by practicing healthy forms. We have to enjoy a healthy and nutritious diet. Fresh air. What else? Proper rest. Sunlight, physical exercise, and most of all, trust in God. Because intemperate eating, if we are intemperate in our eating, in our drinking, even in sleeping, you sleep too much, or singing, this is sinful, man. But we will never be so without Christ's grace. We need the grace of Christ. That's why, what is the meaning of true temperance? What it teaches us in Health Reformer, April 1877. Health Reformer, April 1877. It says, "True temperance teaches us to abstain entirely from that which is injurious, and to use judiciously only healthful and nutritious articles of food." See? Yes, we are Christian reformers, but not destroyers, because we avoid extremes. We just go to the middle path. We must advance. We must go on. Forward, not go backwards. So not only to be sober, to be temperate in all things, but to be vigilant, meaning that you must always be on guard so that you are not taken by surprise. So that when we are when Jesus comes, we are prepared to meet Him. Right? Because in Matthew 24:42-43, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. So it is also in line with our children's study earlier. Praise the Lord. We know He's coming, but we don't know exactly what time He's going to come. But we must watch. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. In other words, we must always be alert, watchful, and most of all, resist Satan's deception and power. Why? Because like a roaring lion, he wants to tear down and destroy us by what? By opposition, by persecution, and even death, if God allowed him to do it. So, a watchful Christian carefully examines their thoughts, words, and actions to defeat the enemy. And a watchful Christian is a working Christian. Why? Because he is putting his or her best effort to advance God's cause, God's kingdom. In Steps to Christ 72, Steps to Christ 72, it says, when Christ took human nature upon him, he bound humanity to himself by a tie of love that can never be broken by any power save the choice of man himself. See? We must not cut off our connection with Christ even for a single moment unless we choose to do so. Continues, it says, Satan will constantly present allurements to induce us to break this tie, to choose to separate ourselves from Christ. Here is where we need to watch, to strive, to pray that nothing may entice us to choose another master, for we are always free to do this. See, this is the wonderful thing about our Lord. Look, we are not created robots. Okay? He did not force us to choose Him. In fact, if you do not want to go to heaven, He cannot carry you there because you will not be happy. He respects your decision. It is really your choice. Right? Continue, it says here, but let us keep our eyes fixed upon Christ, and He will preserve us. Looking unto Jesus, we are safe. Nothing can pluck us out of His hand. I remember our study about in God's hand. No way. Nobody can take us out from His hand if we allow Him. In constantly beholding Him, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You know the saying, the phrase, where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah, this is a very common phrase. But this emphasized the importance of making decisions and doing actions that form our life. Okay? And we have to understand these things. Because in Steps to Christ, Steps to Christ, page 48, it says, what you need to understand is the true force of the will. What is the will? This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on right action of the will. And in Matthew 11:12, we are told, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So, what does this passage mean? What does the violent take it by force means? In the Youth Instructor, May 24, 1900, it explains the meaning of this. It says, this violence takes in the whole heart. So the battle is in the heart. To be double-minded is to be unstable. Okay? Resolution, self-denial, and consecrated effort are required for the work of preparation, especially now that our records in heaven are being examined, right? So the understanding and the conscience must be united. But if the will is not set to work, we shall make a failure. Let me stop there for a second. For example, okay, you may understand the fourth commandment, as we all do, and your conscience tells you not to work on the Sabbath. But on the other hand, you also worry about losing your job. You have a family to feed. And what do? You either obey or disobey the command. It is your choice. So if you do not submit to your will, if you don't submit your will to God and put it into action, you will gonna fail at the end. You will definitely fail. And continue, it says here, every faculty and feeling must be engaged. Ardor and earnest prayer must take the place of listlessness and indifference. Only by earnest, determined effort and faith in the merits of Christ can we overcome and gain the kingdom of heaven. Remember that? These two things. Our time for work is short, and Christ is soon to come the second time. In Matthew 7:13-14, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Many people choose the broad way because, you know, they are free. It's so easy. It's so much fun. There are no restrictions. Okay? Nobody will stop you. They can do all the pleasures of the world adapted to their liking. Yeah? The carnal heart. And people here will say, do as you please, no matter how corrupt it is. You know? Anyway, God loves you. Heaven is your home anyway. This is their reason. But only a few find the narrow path which leads to eternal life. In Christ's Object Lesson 280, Christ's Object Lesson 280, paragraph 2, we can never be saved in indolence and inactivity. Okay? There is no such thing as a truly converted person living a helpless, useless life. It is not possible for us to drift into heaven. No sluggard can enter there. Yeah, no lazy Christian will go to heaven. In fact, even Paul said, no work, no eat. If you don't work out, yeah, you will fail. You're gonna get hungry, even in the worldly things like that. And God will not take you to heaven against your will, especially if you are physically and spiritually lazy. Remember that. That's why he said, if we do not strive to gain an entrance into the kingdom, if we do not seek earnestly to learn what constitutes its laws, we are not fitted for a part in it. Those who refuse to cooperate with God on earth would not cooperate with Him in heaven, and it would not be safe to take them to heaven. That's why if you are truly converted, you cannot help yourself but to be active and to be a living agent for good. See, faith and works go hand in hand. They are inseparable. Okay? You cannot just say, okay, only faith. At the same time, you cannot say, only work. Okay? This should be what? Combined together. And in walking in this straight and narrow path, it requires both divine power and human effort. Because God will not allow anything into heaven. He will no longer allow another rebellion to happen. No? That is why this world serves as a training ground for us to perfect our character. So, what to do? We must strive to live a godly life on earth to be worthy of heaven. What's the saying? We have to be saints here on earth before we become saints in heaven. And there is a warning for us in Review and Herald, March 2, 1897. Review and Herald, March 2, 1897. We may have long followed the narrow path, but it's not safe to take this as proof that we shall follow it to the end. See, it doesn't matter how long you have been in the present truth. Whether it's 30, you are 40 years or more walking in this narrow path, it is not a guarantee that you will reach the end. It is not a guarantee that you will enter heaven. But the condition is you must keep walking by faith. Because there is a possibility that you're gonna slip or fall. You must continue this path unto the end. That's why this verse in Matthew 24:13 is written for our benefit. When he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, praise the Lord, Brother Arthur. Yes. Endurance. Yes, endurance is a key. You must keep going, even in the face of pain, distress, without resisting, sinking or surrendering to the pressure. Because this is not an easy path. Your faith and endurance grow stronger in the face of all adversities, including suffering and even death. God wanted us to be a strong Christians. Remember that studies, sermon that we have? See, our dear Jesus, He came into the world willingly and with a purpose to save us, to save sinners like me, like you, like all of us. Despite knowing He would suffer rejection, sorrow, and finally death, and He became our example, our pattern, which we must follow, according to 1 Timothy 1:16. It says, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me, first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." And in manuscript 135, 1901, September 24, 1885. Okay. It says here, "We have not six patterns to follow, nor five. We have only one, and that is Christ Jesus." See, the gospel, the good news of salvation, centers around Christ, because He is the only way. No, it is not Buddha, it's not Confucius, no, or any other human, not even the Pope or the apostles, as we have studied earlier, for they also have weaknesses and failings like us, and need the grace of God. They are also sinners. That's why it's really amazing. I'm so happy. And how we tackle this topic in our adult study. Really, the Holy Spirit moves from the children's study, from the adult study, and now He is uniting us in the truth. Because we only have one pattern, and that is Jesus Christ, who left heaven to live as a man. He died for our sin and served as our example of what? Obedience, of humility. And in volume 2, 358, it says, talking about Jesus, "has pointed out the way for us and marked it all along by His own footsteps. It is the path that He traveled, and we may, with Him," okay, we are not alone, we are with Christ, "experience the self-denial and the suffering." We are not above our Master, you know. We have to walk in this pathway imprinted by His own blood. In Treatise 193, quoted John 14:6, it says, "Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It is hard work to follow on step by step, painfully and slowly, onward and upward in the path of purity and holiness. But Christ has made ample provision to impart new vigor and divine strength at every advanced step in the divine life. This is the knowledge and experience that the hands in the office all want and must have, or they daily bring reproach upon the cause of Christ." And we don't want to bring reproach to Him. So, the straight and narrow path is not an easy path. It is the but although it's not easy, it is the only path to perfection, and Christ has promised us grace for every step we take if we strive. That's why Philippians 4:13 is written for us. I can do things through Christ which is strengtheneth me. But so many nominal Christians misunderstood Christ's command when he said, come, follow me. Because according to Ministry of Healing 105, men feel that it would be a great privilege to visit the scenes of Christ's life on earth, to walk where he trod, to look upon the lake beside which he loved to teach, and the hills and valleys on which his eyes so often rested. But we need not go to Nazareth, to Capernaum, or to Bethany in order to walk in the steps of Jesus. We shall find his footprints beside the sickbed, in the hovels of poverty, in the crowded alleys of the great cities, and in every place where there are human hearts in need of consolation. See? This is true. Many people are willing to spend thousands of dollars just to visit Jerusalem. They think they can find the footprints of Jesus there. But, see, it's no longer necessary. Huh? Because we can see his footprints among those in need of compassion and comfort. We have to go out and reach them, these poor souls. And consider these words in 3T 538. It says, the Christian's life must be one of conflict and sacrifice. The path of duty should be followed, not the path of inclination and choice. We're going to go back on that subject later. Another quotation in 3T 379, it says, every step in the life of faith and duty is a step toward heaven. Okay. Another one in 46:10, it says, obedience to God is the first duty of the Christian. A humble mind and a grateful heart will elevate us above petty trials and real difficulties. Okay. See, all the trials that we're experiencing now are incomparable to the reward that will give to us when we are in heaven. Okay. The less earnest, energetic, and vigilant we are in the service of the Master, the more will the mind dwell upon self. And we are magnifying molehills into mountains of difficulties. It's just an imaginary thing. Okay? Because you start looking on yourself, you start now to complain. Oh, it's really hard to be a Christian. But no. This path is a path of duty. It's a path of obedience according to 4097. It says, the path of obedience is the only path of safety. Walking the straight and narrow path, as I've said earlier, takes some effort. It's not an easy road. It's not an easy path, for there are so many obstacles. But we must persevere. We must go on and keep going till the end, looking to our dear Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. This is why in Hebrews 12:1, we are exhorted. It says, Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So, in other words, we must not carry any weights or any loads of heaviness while we are on the run. Put aside every weight. What is this weight? Which is sin. Huh? When you are walk in this path to holiness. In Signs of the Times, March 19, 1902, it says, what are these weights? Envy, malice, evil thinking, evil speaking, covetousness. These are weights that the Christian must lay aside if he runs successfully the race for immortality. And I want to address all who are contemplating marriages, no? Young people here, what? We have young people in our church. You must carefully and prayerfully consider this important matter. Make sure heaven approves your decision. You have to seek counsel. Do not be hasty. You have to follow the path of duty and not the path of inclination. Okay? Because in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." This is very implicit. Okay? Why? Because according to 5T363, it says, "The path to eternal life is steep and rugged." It is a rocky road. So take no additional ways to retard your progress, because you have too little spiritual strength and you need help instead of hindrance. So never take additional weights to hinder your walk in this narrow path, in this steep and rugged path. Do not unite yourself with unbelievers, even if you think he or she is favorable to your religion, for it is an unsafe path. Listen to this. In 40, 505, because they want our religion, they will gonna join us. He's attending the church, he's attending the Bible studies. But the plea is sometimes made that the unbeliever is favorable to religion and is all that could be desired in a companion, except in one thing. What is that one thing? He is not a Christian. That's the one thing he lacks. Although the better judgment of the believer may suggest the impropriety of a union for life with an unbeliever, yet, in 9 cases out of 10, inclination triumphs. So there is the path of inclination. It is really unsafe. Spiritual declension commences when? The moment the vow is made at the altar. That's forever. Religious fervor is dampened, and one stronghold after another is broken down until both stand side by side under the black banner of Satan. Even in the festivities of the wedding, the spirit of the world triumphs against conscience, faith, and truth. And in the new home, the hour of prayer is not respected. Huh? The bride and the bridegroom have chosen each other and dismissed Jesus. What a sad scenario. At first, he's attending the church. It's okay. Okay. I will respect your religion. I'm gonna go with you, but little by little, they are dismissing Jesus because of the path of inclination. And this is one example of that path, that broad path. That's why, again, as I've said, it is really unsafe to walk therein. And especially for our young people, there's a lot of dangers right now. 4364, it says, I have been shown the dangers of youth. Their hearts are full of high anticipations, and they see the downward road strewn with tempting flowers which look very inviting, but death is there. the Broadway is so enticing to them because it's so fun. Huh? The narrow path, on the other hand, may appear to them to be destitute of attractions, a path of thorns and briars, but it is not. It is the path which requires a denial of sinful pleasures. It is a narrow path cast up for the ransom of the Lord to walk in. And none can walk this path and carry with them the burdens of pride, self-will, deceit, falsehood, dishonesty, passion, and the carnal lusts. The path is so narrow that these sins will have to be left behind because these are weights that will hinder us. But the broad road is wide enough for sinners to travel it with all their sinful propensities. We cannot be half the Lord and half the world. Partial obedience is not acceptable to God. In 4147, it says, many are the hindrances that lie in the path of those who would walk in the obedience to the commandments of God. And there are strong and subtle influences that bind them to the ways of the world, but the power of the Lord can break these chains. Huh? And what are these strong and subtle influences that hinder us? What are these? In 4SP 416, let me... 4SP 416. Is that the one? Okay. It says, many are the forms of human influence through which Satan works to bind his captives. He secures multitudes to himself by attaching them by the silken cord of affection to those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Whatever this attachment may be, what are those? Parental, filial, conjugal, this is for husband and wife, or social, maybe your friends, your associates, the effect is the same. The opponents of truth rule with despotic power, and the souls held under their sway have not sufficient courage or independence to obey their own convictions of duty. That is why God claims our entire affections, our whole heart. So give your heart's best and holiest devotion. God and His cause are to be first in our hearts. No earthly ties, no human relationship should turn our feet from walking in this straight path, this straight and narrow path. Not even my wife or my children, my parents, or my friends. No way. In 5T53, the pains of duty and the pleasures of sin are the cords with which Satan binds men in his snares. Those who would rather die than perform a wrong act are the only ones who will be found faithful. That's why in Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. Most people who follow their own inclinations think they can easily give them up at any time. But sin repeated becomes normal, no? They become used to this kind of sin. And then it becomes habit, and habit becomes the character, and he became bound with his own cord and become captive by the devil. But when you truly desire to do God's will, no matter what, even if it means giving up your own life just to break the cords of Satan, of course, by the grace of Christ, all these hindrances, these subtle influences, will disappear. And we have a painful duty to be united with Christ. Because in 5T231, there must be a painful work of detachment as well as a work of detachment. So, detachment and attachment, both include painful duty. Pride, selfishness, vanity, worldliness, sin knowledge forms must be overcome if we would enter into a union with Christ. And the reason why many find the Christian life so deplorably hard, why they are so fickle, so variable, is that they try to attach themselves to Christ without first detaching themselves from these cherished idols. No, you cannot do that. And God requires you to be prompt in action in all aspects of His work, including the work of overcoming. So do not give advantage to the enemy by your indecision and procrastination. By delaying obedience, for this will keep you from striving. 4344, it says, 4344, halfway work with you will not advance you one step toward heaven. Okay? If you stand still, you will not reach the end. Indecision soon becomes decision in the wrong direction. And that is scary. Many decide to serve themselves and Satan by not making determined efforts to overcome their defects of character. Dear brothers and sisters, it is not by chance that you and I are here enjoying this gospel of truth. Because God has called us all to go forward and sow the gospel seed. But, remember, we must comply with the conditions. In Christ Object Lesson 36, COL 36, it says, so those who are called to unite with Christ must leave all in order to follow Him. What are these all? Old associations must be broken up. Even your best friends that gives you bad influence, that will hinder you. You have to give up. Your plans of life will languish. Okay? Earthly hope surrendered in toil and tears, in solitude and through sacrifice, must the seed be sown. We must surrender everything to Christ. Give up your selfish plans, your selfish ambition, 100%. He knows what is best for you and me, for all of us, and He has a better plan for each one of us. We simply have to trust Him, like the birds, to manage and control our lives. We need a simple trust. The one we studied before. In Man of Blessing 138, Man of Blessing 138, the narrow path, the upward road, leading to home and rest, furnished Jesus with an impressive figure of the Christian way. So this is the illustration, so that we understand our path, what is before us. The path which I have set before you, He said to us, is narrow. Okay? The gate is difficult of entrance, for the golden rule excludes all pride and self-seeking. See, no sin in here. There is indeed a wider road, but its end is destruction. And if you climb the path of spiritual life, you must constantly ascend, for it is an upward way. You must go with a few, for the multitude will choose the downward path. And in the road to death, the whole race may go with all their worldliness, all their selfishness, all their pride, dishonesty, and moral debasement. And there is room for every man's opinions and doctrines, space to follow his inclinations, to do whatever his self-love may dictate. And in order to go into the path that leads to destruction, there is no need of searching for the way. Why? For the gate is wide, and the way is broad, and the feet naturally turn into the path that ends in death. Yeah, because that is human nature. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We always choose to sin. And it is now up to us to decide which path to choose. And in 2T 387, the conflict will be close between self and the grace of God. Self will strive for the mastery and will be opposed to the work of bringing the life and thoughts, the will and affections into subjection to the will of Christ. Self-denial and the cross stand all alone in the pathway to eternal life. And because of this, few there be that find it. And last two quotations in 3T 388 and in Proverbs 12:28. 3T 388, it says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, and he's telling this also to us today, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. I lead the way in the path of self-denial, and I require nothing of you, my followers, but that of which I, your Lord, give you an example in my own life. And lastly, in Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof, there is no death. My dear brothers and sisters, every moment brings eternal consequences. You have to choose life. Following the path of righteousness, the straight and narrow path, may look discouraging and intimidating to our human eye. Yet, it is the only right path. So, let's strive to walk in there, fighting the battle of life and against the enemy. Don't let go. It will demand our determined efforts with the strength and power of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in order to win. See, the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord. But we will certainly receive a glorious reward at the end, because this straight and narrow path will lead us to purity, to holiness, and everlasting life. I hope and pray that you are blessed with what we share this Sabbath day.
Jesus, let me die. Jesus, King, to save me. So I will lift my eyes to the one who is my King. He brought me from a life filled with sin and shame. Now I see the light Christ holds onto me. I've been redeemed and I'll sing hallelujah to my King. Jesus, my Jesus, no one else like you, no one else can do the things you do. Jesus, my Jesus, no one else like you, nothing to come. I wanna follow you, faithful and true are your ways. So hold me as you may, and take this heart of clay and make it yours. And I will sing hallelujah to lucky. Jesus, there's no one else like you, and no one else can do the things you do. Jesus, no one else like you, and nothing to compare to you. So I sing of your great love, and tell the world about your mighty power and grace. What mighty majesty, your name is so great, Jesus, the name above all names. So hold me as you may, and take this heart of clay and make it yours. Jesus, there's no one else like you, no one else can do the things you can do. Jesus, there's no one else like you, and nothing to compare to you. There's nothing to compare to you.
Shall we all kneel and end in prayer? Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, please help us to walk in the straight and narrow path continuously. Please help us to put our best efforts and cling to your power without any doubt in our heart, while we strive, contend, and fight for the faith to obtain eternal life. And please, Lord, help us remove any hindrances as we walk along the path and overcome any sins that binds us to keep us going in this path of righteousness. Help us, O Lord, for without you, we are nothing. Please bless your children kneeling before you and all your children around the world, that we will all continue to be united in the spirit of truth and in love for you and for one another. Please bless the holy work that you entrusted to us to continue to prosper. And please, Lord, please accept our humble cry to shower us today with the large measure of the latter rain you have promised. We're longing to receive them, O Lord. Please stay with us for the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day, and help us guard the edges of the Sabbath, and bless our meeting tonight, the prayer and study meeting, that we will all be blessed as we continue study your righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Prepare us, O Lord, for your very, very soon return. And thank you. Thank you for cleansing us and forgiving our sins, because we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.